All right, today we're concluding our series, our fall series, Passing the Tests. It's been a great series, just looking at the things that are going to matter to God when we stand before Him. And understanding that there are things that we're doing in this life on planet Earth right now that affect all of that. You can invest in your kingdom account. Isn't that awesome? Now, I'm not just talking about throwing money at the church or anything like that. If you've been listening to the sermon, it has to do with living a life of godliness and living a life of passionate pursuit of God and a relationship and living a life that says, you know what, I'm here to build God's kingdom with God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're actually going to end with this as our topic, prophesy for Him. Prophesy for Him. So at the start of this, let me ask you a question. How much of your life, what percentage of your life throughout the day would you say is living for God's purposes and building God's kingdom? What percentage of your life on a daily basis is building God's kingdom? How much of your day is invested in saying, okay, I'm going to do something today that will build God's kingdom. I'm going to talk to somebody about Jesus. I'm going to text somebody. I'm going to be reaching out to people. I'm going to live in such a way that other people will see that God's kingdom is alive right here in my life. I'm going to prepare myself to do ministry. I'm going to learn how to teach. I'm going to learn how to preach. I'm going to do things that are building for God's kingdom. How much of your day is invested in that, in God's kingdom? And here's what I know. God has equipped you to serve Him, to live your life for Him 100%. And I wonder what percentage we're at today. And I'm not saying that to put you down. What I'm saying that for is so that you will begin to move forward and recognize that God is equipping you, God is preparing you to give your life 100% to Him. That would have been a great place for an amen. You have talents, you have gifts, you have abilities. You have things that God has given you, experiences in life that you can use for Him to build His kingdom, to be His business partner. You have decisions that you make on a daily basis. And those decisions are opportunities that God is giving you to either build His kingdom or to not even notice it. And you just have to recognize those decisions when they come along. You have time. You say, well, John, I'm so busy. No, you have time to build God's kingdom. You've just got to recognize it. You've got to take the time to build God's kingdom. You've got to intentionally do it. You have resources to build God's kingdom. You've just got to free up those resources for His kingdom. Now, as a father, I feel like I've given my kids the best that I could possibly give them to set them up for a good life to live and do well and to do everything that God has created them for. I believe that I've done that in their lives, and I, you know, I've watched over them. I make sure they've got food. I make sure they've got a place to live and clothes and all the things that they need. And so when I need something from them, when I ask them to do something for them, it can be very frustrating when they say, well, I'd rather not. I've been planning on this day for a long time to play video games all day long. My kids have never said that, but they've said other things. You know, I've been planning for so long to do this, to do something myself, and I'd rather not do what you've asked me to do. But as father, I feel like I have the right in their life because I've provided so much for them. And God the Father is saying, you know what, I've given you everything, and when I come along and ask you for a moment of your time or for 10 minutes of your time, but I've been planning so long for this day, for like 2 days I've been planning to do this instead of what you want, God. And what happens is our desires tug and pull at us. And they pull us away from what God wants us to do throughout the day for Him. God's good purpose is right there, and we can decide to be a part of it, but we miss it. And before we know it, another day has gone by, and we didn't do anything for his kingdom. It's kind of like that Nordic track that you've got sitting in the corner, or that Peloton that you've got sitting in the corner. It's kind of like that. You know, it brings life. If you get on that thing and you start moving, it brings life to you. It gets stuff in your joints and your muscles get better and moving. And boy, the older I get, man, I really need it, because you sit down for too long at my age and you start feeling it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's bad. Well, and you thought, you know what? If I spend this much money on this thing, I will be inspired to get up and use it, right? I'm going to feel like I'm going to be compelled to use this thing every day. But life, what, keeps pulling you away, and there's always something better that you could do. There's something different, or you oversleep and you don't get up. Suddenly you have a meeting. Well, I can't get on the Peloton. I can't do it. I don't have a Peloton. I didn't spend that much money on what I bought, but I've got that eucalyptus machine or whatever it's called. And someone needs something and it pulls you away, or you just feel like, well, you know what, I deserve to go home and veg tonight. I don't need to get on. And all of the things. And if you don't go over and get on the machine, nothing happens. You have to get on the machine in order for exercise to happen. Well, I want to get on the machine. I intend to get on the machine. But if I don't, in the same way, God's purpose for your life brings more life. God's purpose for your life brings more life, and when you begin to do it, it's like exercise. It brings new life in you. More life. You can want to do it. You can intend to do it. But if you don't do it, nothing happens. Yeah, but I had this. Well, these are decisions. Jesus talked about this, and we've talked about this recently. He told the story about two sons. He went to the first son to go to the work in the vineyard today, and he said, hey, would you go work in this vineyard? I need you to do this for me today. And the son had a really bad attitude, and he said, I'd rather not. I've been planning to play video games for like 2 days, and you're asking me to do this? I'd rather not. Well, the father walked away, and afterwards, the son felt bad about what he had said to his father, and he got up and he went and did it. And Jesus said that the father went to the second son, and he said the same thing. Hey, I want you to go work in the vineyards today. And the second son had a great attitude. He was like, yes, yes, I will do it for you. No problem. I'm going to put this remote control down, and I'm going to go do it right now. But he didn't do it. And Jesus asked this question, tell me now, which of these two sons did the will of his father? The one that got up and actually did it. So the admonition is, you know what? Let's not just want to do what God wants us to do. Let's not just want to build God's kingdom. Let's not intend to do it. Let's do it. Doing God's will isn't about feeling good about doing it. Doing God's will is doing it. Doing it. It's about love. And love is the motive that moves you onto God's purpose, even when you don't feel it. So I want to give you a tool today that most people probably shy away from in building God's kingdom. I want you to become a prophet. All of you. To prophesy. Follow the way of love. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul said, and he's talking to the whole church of Corinth, he said, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Isn't that interesting? Prophecy. Are we all supposed to walk around acting like we know the future? Yes. God has told us what is to come. And it's important for us to continually remind each other that God has told us what is to come. You know that Jesus is coming back. That's prophecy. Remind each other, Jesus is coming back. All the problems and struggles that we're facing right now, don't worry, Jesus is coming back. You know that God is going to win. Oh man, all the stuff that's going on in our world today, all the mess that we're in, we know the end. God is going to win. When you declare that, you're declaring a prophecy, and that makes you a... You know that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. That's what he prophesied. That's what he said. And for him, it's reality. And when you say, God is going to wipe your tears away, you're prophesying. It means you believe it. You know so many things that are to come because God has told you in his word. And when you read it and what he said is going to happen, and when you declare it, your words are encouraging, your words bring life, and your words bring hope. I sat on the couch yesterday while I was working on this yesterday morning, and Angela came out, and she was having one of those moments about the cancer and all of the stuff that she's going through. And I began to speak words of life. You know what? The Lord has said he's coming back for us. The Lord has said you're healed in the name of Jesus. And I began speaking the words of prophecy to her. And isn't that amazing? That's not some weird Christian voodoo stuff. That is what Jesus said is going to happen. Do we believe it is the question? And do we pass it on to each other for encouragement and comfort throughout our lives? And people make it a mystery, you know, and Christians even make it a mystery. They sell this stuff, and we got to be careful. And here's the key. All of us have the gift of prophecy because God has told us what the future is. And when you begin to speak it, using it to edify and to build up the body of Christ, build up his kingdom, you are releasing faith and healing into people's lives. Isn't that awesome? So let me warn you, though. Here's what Paul is not saying. Paul is not saying that we sit around just speaking words over each other that we make up and we hope that they're going to come true. I've seen this happen. I've seen this happen in prayer meetings where people just sit around and start speaking words over each other that they're just making up. And you've got to be very careful not to do that. That's not it at all. Prophecy is saying to someone what God has said will happen. And God will give some words to people, but he's going to speak it so clearly that you know, look, this is not some Christian voodoo. This is real stuff. God said this, and he told me to tell you this. But the majority of everything we need to know already about the future is in his word, and we can speak it with confidence and prophesy to each other. But you've got to be very careful because throughout the Old Testament, we saw where God severely judged people for speaking words of prophecy that weren't real words that he said. He would get very angry with people. So this word prophecy means more than just telling the future. It also means when someone breaks forth, I'm going to use the definition that you find in the blue letter Bible online here. It's interesting. It is perfectly fitting. It's when someone breaks forth under a sudden impulse in lofty discourse or praise of the divine counsels to teach, refute, reprove, admonish, and or to comfort others. So I want to give you an example from Scripture. Luke chapter 1. There was a couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth. Y'all remember Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were old and childless, but they were God-fearing people. Now, Elizabeth, being childless and old, that means that she was barren, and that means that she felt like she was condemned by God. And one day, Zechariah was on duty serving as a priest before God. Both of them were from the tribe of Aaron, they served as in the temple as priests, and their custom was to choose straws to see who would go into the temple and burn incense. That day, Zechariah just happened to choose the shortest straw, and so he was the one to go in and burn incense that day. Well, at just the right time, he went into the temple to do this, and if you can imagine with me, he walks into the temple, and he's starting to do the duty of burning incense, and he turns around, and there's this giant angel standing there, Gabriel. And it says, I mean, it's really funny when you read it, scared him to death. Ah! And Gabriel says, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born." Boy, that's interesting, isn't it? "He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn their hearts of their parents to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So Gabriel is telling him this. Who's he speaking about? John the Baptist. And Zechariah looks at him and goes, "Really? Now, I don't know about you, but if I've just gotten scared by this angel, I'm probably not going to argue with him," but he did. He says, "Are you serious? How are we going to know for sure that this is going to happen? I'm too old to have a child. Have you seen my wife? She's old." And Gabriel says, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until this day happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." So Zechariah comes out of the temple and he can't speak anymore. But he was making signs, trying to tell people what had happened. And he starts making all these signs, telling, "My wife is going to get pregnant," and all of these things. And they're trying to figure it out. So eventually he starts using a tablet to be able to communicate on. Well, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were being used by God to grow God's kingdom. They were being used by God to grow God's kingdom. Because Zechariah didn't believe, though, God silenced him. He said, "You're not going to speak any words against this." He wasn't going to use his words to build. He was going to potentially destroy, because he didn't believe. And God silenced him. God was communicating to Zechariah and Elizabeth that he had purpose for their son John that would completely encompass John's life. And John's life, if you will, was like a river that was flowing. I want you to get a picture of a river in your mind. A river is there. It's just there, right? But it's flowing. And what is it doing? It's bringing life to wherever it goes. Every place that river touches brings life to it. And it gives life wherever it flows. It directs people's lives. Anybody that gets into the river finds direction for where they're going, and it gets them to a different destination. Some people's lives are like this. God has mandated in some people's lives that some of them are 100% for his purposes and use. And God guide, these people are used to guide and direct other people, and they affect other people for his purposes. And John was one of those people. And you and I can choose that kind of life that, God, I want to be used for your purposes. I want to step into that, and I want to be a part of your river that other people may find life if they come into me. Like the man that was born blind. Do you remember that guy? This guy was born blind, and Jesus is there. And they come up to this guy, and they're like, hey, Jesus, who sinned? Was it his parents, or was it him that caused him to be born blind? And Jesus says, neither one of them. It's not about that. It's about right now. This man has been blind all of his life for my purpose. This man was born blind so that right now you would be able to see him get healed. God's purpose. It's like the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. This woman, you can imagine, her blood counts were low. She had low iron. She could hardly, I mean, if you've ever had low iron or low blood count, you're very, very weak and tired, and she had no energy. And this woman goes out. She finds a way with what little energy she's got. She reaches out, and she touches the hem of his garment for God's purpose, to build God's kingdom. You mean she had an issue of blood for 12 years just for that one moment? Yes. He was blind all of his life until now. For that one moment, yes. To lead people to God's kingdom. John's life was just that. He was different. He grew up in the wilderness. He ate locusts and honey. He became the forerunner of Christ. He was the voice crying out in the wilderness, the Messiah is here. John's life was 100% about God's kingdom. It dedicated to God's kingdom, and he lost his life because of it. They chopped his head off. Well, when the time came for Elizabeth to give birth to her baby, all of their neighbors and family, you can imagine, everybody came. They were all, wow, this lady, she's been waiting all of her life to have this baby. She's finally going to have the baby. We're so excited. And everybody's standing there, and they're ready to name the baby Zechariah. But Elizabeth spoke up and said, no, his name is John. And they were like, what? What? Is Zechariah not the father? Why would you call the baby John? That doesn't even make sense. And they started arguing with her. They said, wait a second. You don't even have anybody in your family named John. No, this will be the first. So they started making signs to Zechariah. And they started communicating with him. She's going to name him John. Aren't you upset about that? And Zechariah took the tablet. And he wrote on the tablet, his name is John. To their astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. He immediately his mouth was open. And his tongue was set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. This situation was leading people towards Jesus. And look what it says. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. He prophesied. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He's talking about Jesus coming. As he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And then he looks at his son John and he says, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And what's interesting is all of that can be found throughout the Old Testament as prophecy that God had said would happen. There will be the voice of one calling in the wilderness. And his son became the fulfillment of that. And everything that he said about Jesus was prophecy from the Old Testament. He didn't have to become some great prophet that knew that, oh my goodness, oh wait a second. Five of you are going to go to Taco Bell after church today. And text me when it comes to pass, all right? No, it was, this is what the Lord has said, and he just said it again, and he became a prophet in that way, right? He was communicating what God had said. Prophecy is about saying what God has said that it will happen. And he broke forth. So look at what I've said earlier. And prophecy is also when someone breaks forth under a sudden impulse in lofty discourse and or praise of the divine counsels to teach, refute, reprove, admonish, and or comfort others. Using what God has said to bring comfort, direction, for help in other people's lives. So let me say this. God is pleased when we prophesy. God is pleased when we communicate what he has said will happen and help people to understand this is where your life is headed. This is where you're going. When you're in Christ, this is where you're going. When you're not in Christ, this is where you're going. It's prophecy. So back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul gets very practical here. He's teaching the church people about using the gifts of the Spirit to what? Build up the body of Christ. And at this time in the church, there was apparently a problem. How many of you know that there are problems in church sometimes? There was a problem. Everybody was speaking in tongues, but nobody was being encouraged. There was all this spiritual stuff happening. And Paul says, that's a problem. Nothing good is happening from it. And Paul plainly says it. Hey, praying in tongues is good. In verse 5, he said, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. And just before that, he says, here's the good thing about it. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but they're speaking to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. So he begins to teach them that it is good to speak to God. In fact, Jesus said there will be people that say, hey, Lord, we prophesied in your name. And he's saying, look, I don't even know who you people are. So Jesus is making it clear that if you don't have that relationship with God, you don't have any business prophesying for him. But if you have that relationship with God, Paul is saying, you know what? You need to use your time to build up the kingdom of God when you're at church. To edify people. And standing over there praying in tongues, that might look spiritual, but what purpose does it bring? Start talking to each other. Edify one another. Remind each other of God's promises. Remind each other that God is coming back. Remind each other that good things are ahead. That you don't have to worry about what's going on in our world today. The whole world could blow up and everything is going to be okay for God's people. He says in verse 5, the one who speaks to edify and build up the church is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. That's interesting, isn't it? Then he asks them this question. Now, remember, he's sitting in jail. And he says, now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you, in other words, if something big happens and I'm out of jail, and I come to you and all I do is speak in tongues, what good will it be to you? unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction, nothing good is going to come to you unless I'm speaking in your language. And Paul says all of that and more to say this. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. He's saying, don't settle for just a conversation with God. Build with God. Don't settle for just having a relationship with God. Build with Him. Don't settle for just saying, oh, well, I'm saved and that's all that matters. I don't want to get involved. That's just too much. I don't want to build with Him. Build His kingdom. He's saying, because you talk with God, you will do with God. You will do good things with Him. Build what God is building. Do what God is doing. Say what God has said will happen. Speak the words God has spoken. Tell each other about God's kingdom. Teach each other about God's plan, God's purpose, God's story, God's judgments, God's justice, God's righteousness, God's mercy, and God's hope. Give each other that. So let me ask you a question. How much of your life is being used for God's purposes? 5%, 10%, 25%. How much of your life is being used by God's purposes? And, you know, some people are like those rivers that I was talking about. Their entire life is about that, about God's purpose. I don't know about you, but I want to be a river. Where when people get in, I just take them straight to Christ. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they became that. Joseph and Mary, Elizabeth's, John the Baptist and Jesus, you know, they were cousins. So Zechariah and Elizabeth were his aunt and uncle, Mary's sister. If God uses you through an infirmity, like He did the blind man, or the woman with the issue of blood, to grow God's kingdom, to get people where He wants them to be. So let me ask you this. James David, would you come? Other people get to where they need to be because of you. So I ask you, what brought you here? How did you get here? Some of you came from other states. What brought you here? How did you get here? Maybe you're here today because someone else was used by God to get you here. Maybe someone has experienced a hardship, and that's how you got here. And here's how you honor that hardship. You prophesy. You build God's kingdom by declaring His kingdom has come. God's will be done. Jesus is coming back. God has a plan. God has a purpose. We know the end. And let me ask you this. Are you willing to let your life become like a river taking people to God's purpose? Are you willing for your life God, to use you. God, to use struggle and difficulty if that's what it takes. That when other people come in to your life, that you lead them straight to Christ. Are you willing to be that? I don't know if you know much about the history of this church. We started Easter Sunday 2006 was our first service. We just had a handful of people. We moved here, didn't know anybody. Just sensed God was calling us here. We left a larger church in Oklahoma City. I was being groomed, I guess you would say, to be the next pastor. And we just sensed God was calling us to start something new, do something different. So we moved here. The only person we knew in this area at all, besides one older gentleman that I've done missions work with, was our realtor. And early on, we had people, they prophesied good things over us. Oh, the Lord is going to do this, and it's going to be wonderful. Oh, it's going to be this and that. And we this is wonderful. But when it became apparent that it was going to be a slow grow, it's amazing how those voices stopped. The people of God quit prophesying. In fact, some of them even started tearing us down. Oh, if this was God, you'd already have 300. You'd already have this. Other pastors or preachers that I would talk to, they thought they were encouraging me. Oh man, let me tell you this story. This other guy, he started a church, and boy, they've already got 1,000 people. Discouragement, frustration, and questioning. But God kept giving me the strength to endure. And He sent people along the way, like you and you, who believe in something bigger and better than what humans call church. When we moved here, the housing market collapsed. The house we were trying to sell wouldn't sell. We ended up almost giving it away. Financial hardship hit. We faced trials. We faced temptations. Our family, some of our family even were ashamed of us because we weren't successful as pastors should be. You guys know the church stuff. We've been betrayed. We've been accused. We've moved from place to place to place over the last 15 to 16 years, roaming as a church without a home. Angela now has cancer. Our house burned in 2017. But in all of this, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we don't stop. We don't quit. We keep building and building and building. And I declare to you, God is on the throne, and I know He's going to come through for you. I know He's going to come through for us. I know that His kingdom is real and alive and well and healing and strength and everything that we need. We may not see it today, but I'm telling you, I'm prophesying to you, everything is going to be okay. We keep building, and we don't stop. And we don't quit. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Here's what God has said for you to look forward to. Let me prophesy to you. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He was seated on the throne and said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost, from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. How do we overcome? How do we win? Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, that's Satan, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. He who accuses them day and night before our God has been thrown down. They have conquered him, how? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much to shy away from death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. This is your future. So I ask you, are your words building God's kingdom? Is the word of your testimony the goodness of God? Are you building his kingdom with your words? Are you saying this is what God is going to do? This is what he's promised you? Are you saying it? Are you encouraging? Are you edifying? Are you lifting up? Are you building and growing up God's people? If you are, then God is pleased with you. Are you honoring those that God has used to get you where you are today? Are you honoring those with these words? It's good. It's good to do so. Now think about it. Somebody made a sacrifice so that you could be here today. God used them. And you're here. You're here. How did you get here? Would you bow your heads? Do you believe in God's story? If you can't believe the past story, maybe this is where you can start. Maybe you can believe what he said will happen. I know the past story is pretty amazing, and maybe it's too much for you to believe yet. You know, to believe Jonah and the whale, to believe the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to believe the story of creation, maybe that's too much. But maybe you can believe what he said he will do. And I will say this, He made more than 700 prophecies, 300 prophecies, more than that, 700 years before Jesus was born. And every one of those came true through Christ. Every one of those Jesus fulfilled. Where he was born, born of a virgin, all of it. Things that he couldn't even control. And he has prophesied, he has said, he's coming back for those who eagerly await him. Are you ready? Have you given your heart to Christ? Have you accepted him into your life? A relationship? Just do that right now. God, I accept you. I want you in my life. And I thank you for accepting me. I thank you for your love and your peace and your hope that you've given me. I hear the words of this preacher. And I choose today to believe that you do have good things in store. A plan. A great place for me to go after I die or after I'm lifted out of here in what they're calling the rapture. I accept you into my life and I want that. I want a relationship with you. I want to get to know who you are, what you like and what you don't like. And I want to accommodate for you for the rest of my life. I give you my heart. In Jesus' name. And maybe you're here today and you needed to hear this because you're going through a hard time. You win with Christ. It's all going to be all right. God says it's all going to be all right. Don't stop. Don't quit. It's time to build. Time to build his kingdom. Do you receive that word?